We talk about the traits of orphanness. Number one is uncertain about one's self-worth. We are not too certain. We think our worth contingent upon comparison with other people, by competition, by our accomplishment. Second trait is the lack of security, which lead to we like to control, we like to plan everything, and then lead to we focus on the performance, outcome, result. Also, we are not joyful because the circumstances change all the time. And this morning, I'd like to share with you about breakthrough number five. Our God is good, with a question mark. My purpose of this message is to, by God's grace, we are convinced He is good, period. Not the question mark. Amen? I already share with you, the last 1 month or so, I have a lot of struggle in my own life. Of course, the circumstance is not easy. You know, dear brother and sister, circumstance never is the thing make you struggle. It's your perspective of circumstance, right? But your perspective of circumstance also contingent upon your perspective of God. Amen? If you agree, say amen, okay? Our perspective of God is very important. How we view God is very important. If we view God as a very demanding boss or a highway patrol cop try to catch you, your speed or not, if that's our perspective of God, it's very hard for us to open up to Him. Very hard for us to trust in Him, particularly in the tough time. So how do we know our God is good? Number one, by His nature, we know our God is good. Some of them I will share very briefly. I will see how the Lord leads. Mainly today, my message is I really want to encourage all of you, including myself, in the very tough situation, tough circumstance, you need to know God is good. You need to experience God is good. You need to declare He is good. If you are in that position, you are very safe. The circumstance will not get you down. It's the perspective. So how do we know God is good? First, by His nature, we know God is good. In the book of Exodus, first time ever, God showed His nature, goodness to Moses. Do you know that? How many of you know that? In Exodus chapter 33, God actually show His goodness to Moses. It seemed like God's goodness is visible. So what was the situation? What was the background? And the background was when Moses, you know, God called him to the top of the Mount Sinai, right? He was there for 40 days, 40 nights, and God tried to instruct him about the Ten Commandments and all the ordinance. And the Israelites say, wow, where did Moses go? He probably died. We need a God. We don't know where this guy is. So they just make a golden calf. When Moses came down, he was very angry. God told him, you better go down. So God disciplined Israelites. He killed 3,000 of them. And God told Moses, you know, I don't want to go with them because they are stiff-necked. If I go with them, I might kill all of them. It seems like it doesn't show God's goodness. No, you don't know how tough Israelites were. So there was a dialogue between God and Moses. And Moses told God, "Say, you got to go with us. If your presence doesn't go with us, how the world will know we have your favor? How do we know you are leading us to the promised land?" And God agreed with him. And God said, "Okay, I will go with you." Then after that, it's Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 to 19. How about we read together? Exodus chapter 33, 18 and 19. We see how God will show himself to Moses. Then Moses say, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord say, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Just stop here. So the Lord say, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of Moses. In other words, goodness is the major thing of God's character. In other words, God is good. Can you tell your neighbor, say, God is good? So I ask you again, how are you today? Do you have a good day? How was your weekend? How was yesterday? The reason we can say our day is good because God is good. When I preach the message, I share with this message, you don't have to understand totally in your mind, but you receive in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will start to show you. He will remind you a lot of things in your life. Amen? God is good. And then later on, in the Psalm 103, verse 8 to 14, King David tried to elaborate on God's goodness. What does that mean, God is good? In the practical sense, how about let's read together. When we read this, you read that scripture to yourself in light of your circumstance. You read that into yourself, okay? Hear what I say. That's what God put on my heart today. I want to speak to those who really struggle. Because in the tough time, the enemy comes. He put the doubts in your mind. If God is good, why he allowed this happen? Why he allowed this? Why he allowed this? Those things cannot be rationalized, cannot be understood through reason. Because there are a lot of things in the spiritual realm cannot explain, understand by your reason. Okay, let's read this together. What is God's goodness? Let's read together. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always, nor will harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us. For as high as the heaven above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east, as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God's goodness shows he's compassionate, gracious, slow to anger. How many of you want this kind of person to be your boss? How many of you want this kind of person to be your father, mother? Amen? The good news is you have a boss. That's him. It's the Lord. You have a father. You have a heavenly father. He is right here. He's with you in his spirit. Amen? Slow to anger. Abounding in love. Think about the thing we have done. Think the mistakes, the sin we commit, how he dealt with us, right? Think about the crisis in our life, how the Lord helped us. How do we know God is good? By his redemptive work. We know our God is good. Out of his good heart, good intention, he sent his son to this world. Jesus came to this world to show us who God is. God's Spirit, we cannot know him, cannot see him with our naked eyes unless someone show him, right? Who show him? John 1:18, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and his closest relationship with the Father has made him known. Secondly, Jesus came to this world to save the mankind from destruction. We know that. We're going to have the Holy Communion, right? John chapter 3, 16 to 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen? God sent his Son to save us. Not to condemn us. I think that's very important. You say, Pastor Joseph, I know this basic, but this is very important. This basic is foundational to know God is good by his redemptive work. by why he come to this world. He showed God to us. Also, he showed God come to save you and me. Amen? Right now, maybe you are in the tough situation. How many of you are in the tough situation right now? Just be honest. I am. Struggle. I just want to tell you, Jesus come to save you. Not just spiritually, but also the situation you are in. Amen? Save you. He's a savior. And then in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, it says here, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Isn't that wonderful? That's the content of Jesus' redemptive work. He come to preach the good news to the poor in the spirit, the poor in physical sense. He come to set the captives free. He come to open your eyes. He come to comfort you. He come to declare the year of the Lord's favor. How many of you want that? That can apply to our situation. Maybe you are okay right now. Maybe in the last month you are challenged. Maybe in the coming days and month you will have a lot of challenge. Remember what I shared today. Our God is good by his redemptive work. He comes to save you. The third point I want to share with you. God is good. Remain true regardless of circumstance we experience. I think a lot of people cannot believe God because if God is good, why he allowed this happen to us? Why he allowed this happen to we as God's people? I think that's a stumbling block. But today I'd like to share with you, God is good, remain true regardless of circumstance we experience. Circumstance change all the time, right? For Christina, right? You're selling in the quarters, you know. For Ricky, your working situation. Dan, your working situation. Scott, we all work. Our situation change from time to time, right? So if we, our mood, our emotion contingent upon the circumstance will be up and down. But it's very important, no matter how the circumstance is, we know our God is good God. That will help us to move our eyes from circumstance to him. We have different perspective. Right now I'd like to invite you to read Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 32 and 35, 37 to 39. We read the scripture, then a few things to share, then I will conclude. Okay, let's read together. And we know that in all things God worked for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestinated, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare, but gave him us for us all, how will be he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The next. Verse 35. Yeah, verse 35. And then verse 37 to, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Yes. No, in all these things, neither death nor life, neither angel nor demon, neither present nor the future, nor any power, height or depth, I believe this is a very powerful scripture here. It really addresses to our old kind of situation, circumstance. Amen? In this scripture, I'd like to share with you a few lights here. Insight number one is, regardless of your circumstance, our God is in control. Amen? Sometimes it's difficult is we don't know how the situation will be. It may be is an issue with your kids. It's maybe your working condition, maybe the financial condition, maybe with the beloved one who get ill, you know, maybe your health condition, right? Why we are anxious about future? Why? Yes. In other words, still it's a control issue. It's very normal, right? We do concern about future. We do concern about future, our health, our finance, all kinds of situation. But we have no control. But if we know who is in control, God is in control. Here the Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things, God worked for the good of those who love him. That's me, refer you and me. If God can work out all things for the good for you, he must be in control. Amen? Can you tell your neighbor, God is in control? The second insight is that this you declare thyself very helpful. Amen? Because you speak, you hear, the Spirit hear, God hear, you declare something. You declare to yourself. You declare to the spiritual realm. You may be their financial difficulty, their health difficulty. You say, God in control. You say, yeah, God is in control. So I don't need to worry. Dear brother and sister, I'm doing ministry time right now. I'm not trying to convince you. I cannot convince you. Only God can convince you. You have a choice. You can receive. You say, oh, I will hold it. Second insight here is as you walk in God's truth, he's for you. If he's for you, no one can against you. The scripture here, Romans 8, 31 to 32. What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Then Apostle Paul elaborates on that. He who didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him gracious give us all things? Isn't that wonderful? He can grant you all things you need in his time. I think the most thing we need right now, the thing we really need right now is his presence. Amen? It's peace. How many of you need peace? Peace is the harmony, right? You accept yourself. You're God's child. Despite we have a lot of weakness, but we see ourselves through Jesus' eyes. Dear brother and sister, you look at yourself, it's not be prideful, you say, I accept myself. I have peace. I have weakness here and there. I'm sometimes impulsive, sometimes very timid, unstable. I'm aging. I have this problem, that problem, but I accept myself. There's a peace within because God accepts me. Amen? Isn't that powerful? And the peace with God. My God loved me. He's a good God. Pastor Joseph just shared with me. His nature is good. When he himself showed himself to Moses, he showed him all the goodness in front of him like a train. Also, he came to this world to save me, not to destroy me. He's a good God. So we have peace. Peace with ourselves, peace with God. We need to have peace with one another. Amen? We need to forgive. People offend us. We offend people. We just forgive. We have the God's presence with you. Dear brothers, when we have peace with us, then we can think through clearly. We can hear from the Lord. Third insight from the scripture we just read, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all the way till the end, is God works ultimate good for you through your circumstance if you know the purpose of life on earth. The scripture we read just now, it shows us the purpose of our life. Actually, God really looking for is to make, through all the circumstance, we become more like His Son. Dear brothers and sisters, this is very important. A lot of time, we easily to distract by the circumstance. Oh, God loved me because He blessed me, this. I must be okay. Right now, I'm really in a tough situation. I probably sinned against Him. I didn't have devotion time. I didn't do this. I didn't forgive people. No. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, in all the things God worked for the good for those who love Him, then He defined those who love Him and those are called according to His purpose. He called them to be like His Son. Dear brothers and sisters, it's not easy to be like Christ, right? But I want to tell you the good news is, it's not your job, it's God's job. You need to work along with Him, right? How can we become more like Christ? Christ-like, we have love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. We thought, oh, the love, the Lord will drop love into me. No. The Lord developed His love in you through the circumstance. Right? Joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, patience. So I will encourage all of you, if you are in a tough situation right now, or you're going to me, or in the past, I tell you, God loves you. He worked out the good, ultimate good for you. He's developing, He's downloading, He's upgrading each one of us. Tell the people next to you, God is upgrading you. Fourth insight, bad circumstance doesn't separate you from the love of God. We read that just now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution? Apostle Paul lists all of them. You can put your list into it. Amen? So fourthly, today is together, let's pursue this good God. He's so good. Let's pursue Him together. Regarding pursue Him, I have a few insights this morning when I prepare, you know, final preparation. I wait upon the Lord. The Lord gave me a few, 3 points. Number one is focus more on God, less on your circumstance. Number one, when we pursue, focus more on God. You say, Pastor Joseph, how can I focus on more on Him? Then you go to Psalm 103. We're going to have the Holy Communion. Let's meditate on that. Oh, God is compassionate. How did God show His compassion in my life? The Holy Spirit will bring back a lot of memory. So when we pursue God, we focus more on God Himself, His character, what He's doing in your life, than on the circumstance. Number two, more God conscientious, lesser self conscientious. This is very important. I struggled last year, you know, I have the anxiety disorder. Recently, I'm struggled with many issues the church facing in my life. And the Lord just encouraged me, say, you need to learn be more God conscientious, lesser self conscientious. This is very important. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the key. What does that mean to be more God conscientious? It means you make effort to recognize God's presence in the situation. It makes sense? Look at your situation right now. We all have faced different dilemma. When you are here, you're worshiping here, you don't look at, oh, it's so bright, it's about 10:28, you know, what am I going to eat? You focus on God's here. What God tried to speak to me. What God tried to speak to me through the circumstance I'm in. You focus on Him. But you need to make effort. Amen? Otherwise, your mind continue to self-conscious. Oh, I don't feel good. You know, I feel very depressed. I feel overwhelmed. I feel this is too much. Do you know what I mean? How many of you How many of you get what I try to say? If you don't hear any, this is very important. You overcome to make more God conscientious, less self conscientious. If God sees the situation, if God comes to the situation, what will He do? The final is when we pursue this good God, we more focus on relationship with God, with one another, more than what I can do for God, what I have done for God. It doesn't mean we don't serve God. If we don't have that personal, loving relationship with God, you cannot serve Him too long. Amen? You cannot serve Him too long in the good spirit and good heart. Amen? It's a relationship. You need to spend time to cultivate relationship to Him. We're going to have the Holy Communion. I like to use that time you talk to God. Amen? I like you to meditate on Psalm 103. You don't have to use to see on the LCD. You can use your cell phone, your Bible, Psalm 103. Verse 8 to verse 14. You can meditate on that and let the Lord speak to you. When we thank God every month we have Holy Communion. We hold the Holy Communion together. This Holy Communion, the bread and cup, remind us our God is good. Amen? Our God is good. His nature is good. His redemptive work is good. So let's have this sometime, take the bread and cup. We meditate on that, and we'll take the bread and cup together. How about we ask our congregation, come from the back row to line up, take the bread and cup. When you take, go back to your seat, you stand there sometime with the Lord. Okay, from the back. Take the bread and come back to your seat, and would you please spend some time to talk to God, to ask Him to show you His goodness in your life. Ask Him to show you His goodness in your life. Slow to anger, abounding love, and compassionate. Those events, those incidents in your life, and then you give thanks to Him. Give thanks to Him for His goodness in your life, specific incident. Jesus, as we observe this Holy Communion, remind us who we are. We are a child of God. Lord, that is your goodness, Lord. You forgive us. You cleanse our sins. You give us a new title, new identity. We're a child of God. Amen. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. This is a new day, Lord. Help us to be more God conscientious, more conscientious about your presence in our life, your presence in our circumstance, your presence in our weakness, your presence in our difficult time. You're still with us. If you are for us, no one can against us, Lord. You will not withhold any good thing from us if we live according to your truth. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the bread and cup. Refer to your sacrificial death. Refer to your redemptive works. We thank you. We come to you with thankful heart, Lord. May you forgive our sins. We have offended you, offend people. May the blood of Jesus Christ cover us, sanctify us, so we can participate in this bread and cup in a worthy manner. Lord, we thank you. We're so thankful because you are good. You are good, good God. Amen. This prayer refers to the body of Christ broken for each one of us. Let's take this bread with a thankful heart. To the blood of Jesus Christ and share for each one of us. Let's take this cup with a thankful heart. Lord, we thank you and bless you. May your presence continue to be with us in the following time, in the sermon discussion or sharing time, or in our serving you in the rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. God worship you.